Okay, I'm Heidi Hockebo, and I'm going to interview Helen Peterson. Helen, let's just start with where you were born.
In Kenmare, North Dakota.
In Kenmare?
Yes.
Okay. When were you born?
April 24th, 1924. 1904.
1904, okay.
Trying to get away with something.
Okay. Did you go through school?
High school.
High school? Mm-hmm. Finished it there in Kenmare
no,
then?
No, in Alexander, North Dakota.
Oh, okay. Okay. Where did your parents come from?
You mean originally?
Well, were they immigrants or were their parents immigrants or?
No.
No? Okay. No. They grew up?
Well, my mother in Wisconsin, my father in New York.
Uh-huh. Okay. What was the area of communications that you got involved in?
Well, when my husband was in the newspaper business, I at times helped in that.
Okay, now your husband was Wayne Peterson. Okay. Tell me a little bit about your husband's involvement.
Well, of course, all through his life, he was in the news from the time he was a young boy in Arkansas. He was involved in newspaper business.
He grew up in Arkansas?
Yes.
Do you remember when he was born?
1896, I believe it was.
1896, mm-hmm. 8 years older than you.
Yes.
Then. Okay.
That's right. And he came up to North Dakota early, and he was in Mayville for a short time and then went back. And then later he came to Williston, where mm-hmm. I lived mm-hmm. at that time, mm-hmm. and ran the Farmers Press there. And that's where we were married.
Mm-hmm. And there. Did he go to school at all?
In Arkansas.
He did. He finished high school there?
Just high school, uh-huh.
And then how did he actually get into the communication or newspaper business?
Well, as a boy in Fordyce, Arkansas, after his father died when he was about 9, they moved in from the farm and he got involved being a little printer's devil and worked up in that.
Ah,
so he spent all his life.
At 9 years old he started?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And then he moved up here, and that's where you met him in Williston.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you remember the dates that he actually moved to North Dakota, around the year? Did he,
well,
how old he was?
He came to Williston when he was in 1920. And he was 24 then, I believe.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Okay.
And we were married there the next year, 21.
Okay. And so you were out in Williston. Then how did you come to this area?
Well, when he left there, we went from there to Hillsboro
uh-huh.
and got into business for himself. And then the place burned down, so we were out. And for a while, he traveled for the Western Newspaper Union, and then we went down east, expecting to go into business there, and decided not to, and came back here. Went into the Daily News. We bought the Daily News. Our Mr. Lum, E.D. Lum of Wapiton, had just bought it, and we went in as a partner, and then a few years later, we bought him out.
Okay, do you know any history of the Daily News before you got here? Was it, like, when it might have been started, or who was the owner before you came here? Or?
He bought him, excuse me, I can't remember the name.
No, that's
but
fine. That's
it was
fine.
Back, I say it was in 1930 when we came here.
When you came
and
here.
And bought the Daily.
Did you purchase then, you and your husband purchased the Daily?
Well, yes, Mr. Lum had purchased this, but we went in as a partner and then at that time and then
uh-huh.
later
uh-huh.
bought him out just a few years later.
Okay. In what capacity then did your husband start? Was he the writer and editor?
He was editor and manager. Uh-huh.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about the conditions when he first got into the Daily News here.
Well,
can you remember some of that?
It wasn't very good. The paper was not too much. And I think there was about a 900 subscription
uh-huh.
list at that time.
Uh-huh.
And but he built it up through the years and became very, very good.
Uh-huh. How many employees would you say there were back then? Or how many people started on the paper when you were there?
Oh.
Were there three or four?
Were there 12?
There were
more
there
than
60?
That. There were, no, there that weren't that many. There were, I would say, 15 or 20 somewhere.
15, 20.
Between the mechanical and the editorial, you know, the editorial
sure.
staff.
Sure. Okay. What kind of news would they cover then? Or what? Do you remember some of the features
columns? At that time, they covered. They were up against opposition from a bigger city, of course, was Fargo, and they did very much on local news, because they got the world news and state news and so on came in over wires, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and they got that, but they made it very much local, so the people were interested. Mm-hmm. Names as the first thing is get names in the paper.
Yeah.
So.
Would you say that most of the subscription was right here in Moorhead? Was it?
Moorhead in Clay County, I would say.
In Clay County.
But I'd say through the years, then it gradually grew all the time.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about some of the changes that came about. How many years then was your husband how long were you then associated with the paper?
Well, because I didn't work in the paper here after I came here, except wires would break down or something, I'd have to take it over the news over the telephone or by shorthand or something like that. But we sold it in 1944, so it was 14 years.
14 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you remember what the subscription was later then? At the point that you end up selling it, or?
Well, it was over 7,000. It was up. In
up
there.
A lot.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But, and he had also put in this farmers' news, which was a great deal to help, and which now is a great money maker for the farm. It's a rule sheet in there on Fridays.
So he developed the farmers'
news. I don't know what
farmers' news.
Can't
okay.
Remember what
okay.
Called it now.
And what did that consist of?
Well, it was ads from farmers mostly, where the farmers got ads very cheaply and could run them, and it went over in big circulation.
What were some of the other features? Was there a gossip column, or was there a place that just reported on city politics, or what were some
well,
of the
course, city politics would go in the general city news, but of course there was a personal column, which no longer runs in any of the papers, and there was more made of weddings and funerals. I mean, they were done in greater length.
Would you say that some of the content that was in that paper is very similar to maybe some of our smaller town papers now? I know sometimes you can go to smaller towns and they've got their social columns and they're talking about so-and-so is visiting so-and-so. And of that was important?
Well, not only that, they had country correspondents that sent in news to it from various smaller towns and so on.
How many pages were there to the paper around then? Remember?
Well, it would run, you know, depending on how much advertising you got, how much you had to fill in.
Okay. After you sold the newspaper, did your husband retire? Did he go on to work someplace else?
No, he went to, he bought some smaller papers down in South Dakota with several of them, intending to run them as a chain. And then he got involved in the newspaper brokerage, which is selling and buying newspaper properties, which he discovered about 5 states in that.
But then
he finally sold the papers in South Dakota, too, and just stuck to the newspaper brokerage.
Now, here in Moorhead, was the paper, was it a weekly, was it a daily?
Oh, it was a daily.
It was a daily.
It was just no Sunday edition, but daily otherwise.
Can you remember any of the big changes that took place during that time? Anything that changed in the way that they printed? And any things that helped advance? Now the wire was, you know...
Of course, there were many mechanical changes. I mean, with additional linotypes, which they needed as the paper got larger, and bigger press and things of that kind. And they also had an addition to the building.
Okay. So the working conditions were, when they started on the job, it was a smaller paper, and after, when you end up selling it, it got larger and got quite a bit better?
Well, it was larger when he sold it.
Larger than he sold it?
No, it was larger when he sold it. He had built it. It had been built up by that
right,
time.
Right.
And that was during the war, which was, he was just not able to his health wouldn't allow him to keep going.
Is your position as a wife then in this career or industry, were there things expected of you, other things aside from just helping out, say when the wire went out? Did you have to be real sociable? Did you have to pay a lot of politics as a part of being in the newspaper and things like
that?
Well,
of course, there's always, you have to tread carefully and not the things like that. And of course, not as much in the Daily News as in when we were in Rilo, for instance, North Dakota, where we had a paper. And there it was, you had to be very careful.
Careful in what way?
Well, if you went to a dance and somebody asked you to dance with it, even if you didn't want to, you had to do it, and so on and so forth. You know, all those things went into that. That wasn't the case here, of course.
Now, your husband started out working on the printing press, and then he worked into writing for the paper.
Well, of course, he did that all. He went into papers, you always have to do that little bit of everything when you're the owner or manager.
When he first started out, when he was 9 years old.
Oh, well, that was just picking up, helping around the plant, of course.
Sure. Okay.
And it was more during his high school.
So he basically went through all the different positions.
Yes, that's right.
Did you ever hear him comment on what he liked to do best in the newspaper business?
Well, I don't know. I think he liked it all because that was his life. I mean, he'd made up his mind early. He said that that's what he wanted to do, and that's what he did.
Do you remember how the salaries were back then in conjunction, say, with other jobs or careers?
Well, of course, they were rather low, especially in more to begin with, because that's the only way they could make it go. And he used to object very strenuously sometimes because he'd get them all well trained and then the farm would take them away because they were trained.
Do you remember when they did a lot of hiring during that time, were most of the people starting out just like he started out, just starting out fresh in the business and kind of being trained? Had some gone to school?
Well, all of them came from the college. From MS and from those periods, the ones that had that practice.
Do you remember some of the low points in your husband's experiences with papers?
Well, getting things going were very hard. That was a low point. It was just, when he came here in 30, it was just the beginning of the Depression. And I can remember when the banks closed, and that was no way to pay. And he had printed script, and the way around to some of the stores, and they would take it from our help to pay for what they bought, and then they would take it back out and advertise it and come back to us, so we didn't need the cash.
Was it hard to get loans and things like that then during the very beginning, or would it be he'd just have to have all the capital there and make it go from what he had?
You made it go to some. Well, no, I mean, like when they went to build and everything, there wasn't any question about getting bank loans at that time to build in large.
Where was the newspaper located?
It was down on the end of Center Avenue. It was right next to the river. And in fact, when they took out all the old buildings, that was one of the oldest ones, but they left it there.
Is that still there, that building?
I don't know
if
they've taken that now. I think they did in this last deal because Duane's pizza used to be in there for a long time. Way down there.
What were some of the high points in the career that you can remember in the industry, personally or in the industry in general?
Well, it was, I say, every time you got out a good edition or when there was something big happened in the, naturally he had to be very active in the city things. He was president of Rotary and like in the morning he'd go down at about 6 o'clock in the morning and work a little while because he wouldn't be bothered, and a group of the businessmen would go over and have coffee at Brendan's Cafe, which is where the FM is right now.
Uh-huh.
And then they'd plan all these things to do, and that's the way they got started. For instance, built the Country Club, and, you know, mm-hmm. got, talked it over and so on and so forth, got things started there, and they worked on many other, he was involved in so many things in that, in the newspaper business, you always are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he worked behind, he was on all these committees for bridges and post offices and all those things. And
mm-hmm. Do you think that was a part of being tied in with the newspaper, or do you think that was a part of your husband's nature to just get real involved like that?
Well, both, because he was always interested in progress, getting something done and improving the city and uh-huh. so on. He always had been that way.
Uh-huh. Do you what was the most memorable event that was probably covered, locally or nationally, or?
Well, there were a couple kind of peculiar ones here that has happened. It was several years ago. It was in 41, or 31. There was a tornado out here,
mm-hmm.
and it blew a train off the track, which has caused quite a bit of excitement mm-hmm. around here, which mm-hmm. was a big story, of course, for the paper.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband's sister from Arkansas happened to be visiting here, and she was a writer. She went out and interviewed patients at the hospital and so on and so forth that were taken off. And
was that here in Moorhead that there was a train that was derailed?
It was just outside, not too far out of Moorhead. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
And it was a tornado that taken it off the tracks.
Uh-huh.
And then in 41, I remember, he'd been in out to some meeting and he'd just gotten home. And the telephone rang and it was New York calling to want to know about the airplane crash that had occurred here. He said he didn't know anything about it. And it had just crashed out by the cemetery out through there. And
uh-huh.
And he asked him to go out and get pictures and get a cab and take him into Minneapolis so they'd be in New York the next day. Which they did.
Uh-huh.
And things like that, which were big news events here.
Was that a big passenger plane that
yes,
had crashed?
Uh-huh. Oh. Coming in.
Mm-hmm. People were hurt in that?
Yes, and I can't remember how many or yeah. what happened there. But
yeah, so he got his pictures published then? And
yeah, he sent them down to New York, to the wire thing,
yeah.
or down to Minneapolis, they put them on the wire then, you see.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Were there any kinds of competitions and awards that went on back then for story writing and pictures that he got involved in?
No, I don't. Probably not he particularly, because
okay.
he it would be somebody else that was a photographer.
Sure.
And but, I mean, a lot of the pictures would be sent on, of course,
mm-hmm.
and published.
Mm-hmm.
And some of his help now, his sports editor went to the Chicago, on the Chicago papers, and, you know, there was mm-hmm. a lot of that that went on. They went up.
Yeah, they, yeah. Mm-hmm. Did some of these bigger events now, like the train or the plane crash, did they affect his career anyway in that, you know, New York was calling him for photographs? Did it advance his career in a way that he liked, or do you
well,
see
no,
any big
it
events?
Well, no, it was just something that went with the
yeah. territory. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
And he, because he was through the years too, he was, we, the Fargo-Moorhead Twins, the baseball team used to be out here, and he was, during the 35, he was president of that, and they worked hard on getting it a going proposition.
The Twins actually used to be here at Fargo-Moorhead?
Well, that's what they were called, but they're having twins. It isn't the same twins as
oh,
down
okay.
there, but that's, in fact, they took that name down there. I mean, we had it first,
uh-huh.
but
uh-huh.
it was, it, the they were in Moorhead first, and they had an affiliation with
a baseball team?
Yes, a big league team, and,
yeah.
and they had an affiliation with a big league team, and they got some players. The players went here, and they put in a little bit of the money, but uh-huh. it was a struggle getting them going.
Yeah. Did the newsprint shortage ever affect the industry? Or, I mean, do you remember it affecting your husband?
Well, I'm sure it could at times, because during the war especially, there was difficulty, you know, in getting print.
Mm-hmm. Were there times when the paper couldn't be printed because of it?
No, I don't think so. I don't
remember. Always cut down.
You probably cut down on size, you know.
Right. How did you see some of the coverage that was in the paper, or the definition of news, change over the years? Certainly what would have been news back in the 20s was different than, say, the 40s or the 50s. Just as being a wife and kind of observer of some of that, what did you see as changing?
Well, because you didn't go into as much detail anymore. They cut out a lot of detail that had been...
Used to be more detailed back in the 20s.
Yes. Well, in the 30s, I say, is when we came here.
Sure.
And before that, of course. In the small towns, there's still detail. But in
so
the
longer stories, more details?
Yes. You had a wedding, and they described every dress, and they described, you know, and same time in obituaries, it was all the relatives and pallbearers and so on and so forth.
Why do you suppose they started shortening some of that detail?
Space, because there were too many of them.
Too many.
You see, you just can't cover all that.
Mm-hmm. How about other kinds of news? Other things that you could see as changing as far as news coverage and things. Headlines. What were headlines back in the 30s, and what were they say in the 50s? Do you think it stayed the same?
Headline writing was very important, because you have a good headline, you catch your attention for the story.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, as this city developed, naturally there were just everything went long. I mean, they were working for new post offices, new big bridges, and those scraps went on for years and years, you know, and mm-hmm. to try and get them.
Mm-hmm.
And there was always a little bit of competition with Fargo. They didn't want to cooperate too much.
Mm-hmm. Was there a lot of tension because of that in the newspaper? Was there a lot of competition going on between the two papers that you remember?
Well, of course, as far as the Daily News, they tried to build up on this side of the river and Morehead and forget about Fargo. They couldn't compete over there on Fargo News, but mm-hmm. they built up so that they had to have the Morehead paper in order to get the Morehead News, mm-hmm. you know, because they covered more of that.
Mm-hmm. The Forum used to cover more world news and things like that, and the Daily used to be more local.
Well, they tried to cover everything too, but I mean, they didn't want to give that as much space to Morehead, and so it
sure.
was. We are two different cities and in two different states, and it made a difference.
Yeah. Did that ever create problems or tensions that you can remember? The fact that we were two different states and two different cities, and yet we're just sharing a riverbank?
Well, there's always, I don't know about tension, but there's always competition bound to be between them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What memories do you seem to cherish most over all of this? Do you have some fond memories of working in the paper industry, or your husband's involvement with the paper?
Well, yes. I mean, he always was active. I say his interest was in building up whatever happened to be, and he took on a lot of different jobs, of course. But he was more to work in the background and get things started, push a little
mm-hmm,
bit.
Mm-hmm.
And, but he was, like, he was president of Rotary, and he was, you know, all those things during the years. When we're going to start the beet plant, that was after he was out of the paper even, you know. But he went and bought the land on the quiet so that they didn't want the prices, they didn't want it to get out before they had the land bought up. They bought that so that the beet plant could come in without being held up too much, you know,
mm-hmm.
industries.
Mm-hmm.
So he did that, and he worked with St. Ansgar's Hospital, one of the first ones to try and get funds to get that belt rebuilt.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a lot of things like that went on.
Mm-hmm. Was there a lot of excitement involved in starting a paper, or was it more excitement in selling a paper and knowing that you have grown it to a certain point, or?
Well, no,
some
I.
Of your memories there.
Yeah, Chris, he always enjoyed the building up. Mm-hmm. That's because he'd gone through that two or three times, you know. I mean, like when we went to Rotten, it was just a handset paper, and the city had no water and sewer. It was the county seat, but in Rotten, North Dakota, mm-hmm. He went in before long. It was, you know, regular. Mm-hmm. And he did the same thing in Moorhead. He was very much of a worker for the city and locality.
Mm-hmm. If you could look back on your life with the newspaper and stuff, anything that you wish would have been different?
Oh, I don't know. No, I thought it was very satisfactory, and I mean, we cooperated, and he was very, I had, you know, quite active in politics, and he was very helpful in that, and so on. He did, not himself, he didn't want to be busy in that, but he was very nice for me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Some little funny, my husband has his name Peterson, but he was English and French descent. He wasn't Scandinavian.
Oh.
And he had a little bit of the English temperament of being a little bit stubborn, you know.
Uh-huh.
And there's always been kind of a joke about, this was after he was out of the newspaper and into the brokerage business, but he said he had his office up over Waterman's store, which was here at that time on Main and on Center Avenue, and he was traveling all the time. He was very little, and they tried to charge him there was a dollar minimum for water or for electricity, which he was perfectly willing. But then they tried to charge him for sewer. Garbage and so on. There wasn't any, you know, in the office. There wasn't any, and somebody else paid it. It was in a big building, and he wouldn't pay it. He went up the commission, and he wouldn't pay it.
Uh-huh.
And he got quite a bit of publicity on that, and they said, "Well, please pay it. We won't say anything." And said, nope. He was going. So he was quite.
And after he got into the brokerage, how long was he in that?
Well, until just 3 or 4 years, or maybe 3 or 4 years before he died, because when he got not able to handle, you know, to get out so much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, in the meantime, we did have a loan company here in Moorhead, too, afterwards, the industrial loan. So
mm-hmm.
He was president.
What year did he pass away?
77.
77. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. Going on 10 years.
Well, we... Eight years, uh-huh.
Yeah, right.
But we had been married 56 years when he died. So.
56 years,
yes,
isn't that marvelous?
So that was very nice.
Did you keep a lot of memorabilia and things from the newspaper business?
Yes, we have quite an assortment. Doris has most of them now, but
right.
Because I have no place to keep them, of course. But she bought up a lot of things for me to look over now to bring back my memories.
Any last things you'd like to talk about the newspaper or lifestyle of being a wife of an owner and editor? Or
well, I think it was a good life.
Uh-huh.
I always felt it was. In later years, we spent a lot of time in Florida in the wintertime and to the lake in the summer. And I still have very good circle of friends that have been here for all the years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, our son was in the newspaper business, too, for a while afterwards, too, and so on.
Mm-hmm. So it's all in your blood.
Yes, well, my dad was, too.
Your dad was, too?
Yes, so it's been newspaper.
How about when your dad was in the newspaper industry and how that changed from when your husband got
into it? Well, of course, when he was there,
it
was little tiny towns in North Dakota, and his first press, one that he had for himself, it was one of those Washington hand presses that you put down the head, set the
mm-hmm.
hand by, type by hand, and mm-hmm. ran the ruler over the paper.
Mm-hmm. So it took a lot longer.
Yes, it was little tiny towns and there wasn't much, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But of course, later on, was more.
Yeah. Well, very good. Unless you've got anything else you'd like to talk about the newspaper, anything you can think of as being significant times or tough times, good times. I see you have lots of notes there.
I don't think I have anything particular.
Okay.
Of course, he was president of the Minnesota Press Association. He went through, so he was top of the Press Association, too, in the state of Minnesota, which was an honor.
What part did the Press Association play, then, in the state, and what all did they do at that time?
Well, they sent out advertising, and some of those things, and it gave them a lot, because most of them in that were weekly papers, but there were a few dailies, and they kept going on all that contact and the yearly meetings, and so.
Do you remember what years he was president there?
Yeah, it was in...
Was that when he still had the paper here in Moorhead, or was it afterwards?
No, he still had the paper when he
still
when,
had paper.
Yeah,
here.
When he went to, when he went there.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
He was president in
1943.
And we sold the news in 1944.
Uh-huh. Well, very good, Helen. I sure appreciate you doing this.
Well, I'm sure I wasn't.
Yeah.